feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Does it ever seem like some battles just go on and on in your life? Sometimes these battles continue until someone has the courage to say, enough is enough. In our continuing story of David, we are seeing such a declaration. We are at the point in our story where David's army, led by Joab, was battling Abner and his army. Finally, Abner stands up and makes a bold statement about the foolishness of what they are doing. Let's now join Pastor John and see what happens.
Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then, ere thou bid the people return from following or chasing their brother? Hey, Joab, Abner said, with his fresh troops around him, how long is this going to go on? This is going to be bitter, man. It's going to go on and on and on. You're chasing me, and then I get guys, and I chase you, and then you get boys, and you chase me, like the Hatfields and the McCoys. It's going to be a bitter feud that'll never be resolved. We'll be at each other's throats. We'll be on each other's backs. Let's cut this out. It's going to become a bitter burden to both of us and to our armies, to our families, to this nation. So Abner calls out from the top of the hill, and Joab hears him. And Joab, verse 27, as God liveth, unless you had spoken, surely in the morning the people had gone up, everyone from following after his brother. I hear you. I'm glad you're speaking that way, because we would still be chasing you till the break of day. So, verse 28, Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more. The men of Judah stopped chasing the men of Israel, the men of Abner, the men of Benjamin. And neither fought they any longer. And Abner, verse 29, and his men walked all that night through the plain, passing over the Jordan, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from chasing, verse 30, Abner. And when he had gathered all the people together, he counted his soldiers, took toll of his army, and realized that Joab, that he lacked 19 men from Judah. 19 soldiers in Joab's group died. But those same guys, the servants of David, that army, had smitten Benjamin and Abner's men, so 360 died. So it was a pretty big victory for Joab. 19 men were lost. But Abner, standing up for Ishbosheth, Saul's son, those guys lost 360 men. And they took Asahel and buried him, verse 32, in the burial place of his father, which is in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came back to Hebron at the break of day. So now they make their way, after spanking Abner and Abner's army, they make their way back to Hebron. Now, there was a long war between the house of Saul, Ishbosheth, Saul's son, Abner, who was the real power behind the throne. Abner was the guy that was really in control. Abner was the guy that had it together. Ishbosheth is just a weak figurehead. Long war between the house of Saul, and David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. I like this scripture. Because Saul is a symbol of sin and self. David is a symbol of our Savior. And there's a long war going on in my soul. Saul is there, sin and self. But guess who else resides in me and resides in you? The Son of David, King Jesus. And the battle goes for a lifetime. But the house of Saul, the house of self, the house of sin grows weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. There's some setbacks along the way. There's some defeats that I have on certain days. But let me tell you something. As I look back and chart the course, I can see that he who has begun a good work in me is being faithful to complete it. The one that resides in you is greater than the one who comes against you. And even though you might have discouraging times, we all do, yet notice this war that goes on in our souls. The house of Saul grows weaker and weaker. David becomes stronger and stronger. Now, at this time, as David's in Hebron, ruling over Judah, he ruled over them for 7.5 years before he was made king of the whole nation. He's still at war against Abner and the household of Saul. And there's battles raging, but Saul's forces are getting weaker and weaker. And David's forces are getting stronger and stronger. At this time, this is what interests me. David has sons born to him. The first was Amnon of Ahinoam. The second, Chileab of Abigail. The third was Absalom, who was the son of Maonok, who was the daughter of Talmai, the king of Geshur. Oh, David. David marries a pagan woman here, the daughter of a Canaanite king. So what? Well, the product of that relationship is a man named Absalom, who will later cause David's heart to be broken and division in his kingdom and problems galore. Oh, but she's pretty. Oh, he's handsome. Oh, it'll work. Be not unequally yoked together. Because if you choose to be unequally yoked together, it'll break your heart down the road. Guarantee. You can just go to the bank on that. If you choose to be unequally yoked, but she's so beautiful. He's so studly. Okay. He grabbed her, this pagan lady, and it's going to break his heart and cause great difficulty. And the fourth was Adonijah, the son of Haggith. And the fifth was Shephatiah, who was the son of Abital. And the sixth, Ithream by Eglah. These were born to David in Hebron. Now, please note here. David's doing something which is extremely unwise. He's adding wives to his family. He already had a couple of three. But now he keeps adding more and more, and the story, as we shall see, gets worse and worse. He adds these wives. Specifically, in Deuteronomy 17, it says that a king is not to multiply horses, store up gold, or multiply wives. So what's he doing here? David knows the scriptures. David understands what's going on. Maybe he justifies it and says, hey, I'm not multiplying wives. I'm just adding them. You know. It's amazing the figuring we can do when we want to sin. It's amazing how we calculate. I mean, multiplying wives, David may have said to ones that would question him, or may have said to himself late at night when God was convicting him. I'm not multiplying, that means hundreds. I'm just adding a couple gals here and there. See? Ah, man, how we calculate and manipulate when we want to justify our carnality. We all know about that to some degree, don't we? Oh, well, you know, it's not really that. I know I'm not to multiply wives. I'm just adding a couple ladies here, you see. But it's not going to stop there. It's going to get worse, as you'll read, as we'll see. And it's going to totally come caving in his son Solomon, who truly multiplies wives. How many? 1,000. There's no way that you can manipulate that number, you see. He had 1,000 wives and concubines. You know Solomon's folly. But David here, it's interesting because he adds these ladies. David, as we pointed out, now listen to me very carefully here. I'm almost through for tonight. I wanted to be much farther, but we're not. And I won't keep you a lot longer, but I want you to listen, if you would, very carefully to this. David, as we have seen, is very flawed. A propensity to lie. He's really into women. He has an ego that's going to come out in the next part of the chapter. He's got lots of problems. And yet, as we talked about in our study last week, yet, overarching, he had a passion for God and was thus used by the Lord. And the Father honored him uniquely, saying, David, I'm going to build you a house. You are going to be the one from whose seed will come Messiah. And your name will be remembered forever. I'm proud of you, God was saying. And we say, multiplying wives. Later on, he robs in the same chapter another man's woman, and then the Bathsheba story in later years and all the rest. Wow. Now, here's what I want you to hear, and I want you to be aware of as we look at David's life. This is tremendously, as I said, encouraging to me. Thank you, Father, that you use people that are flawed. Because I am. And so are you. How do you know? I just know. I just know. We're all flawed. Amen. And yet that doesn't mean that God isn't going to bless or use. But here's the tricky part. Here's the important part of the equation. And if you don't get this, you're really going to end up confused. Here's the problem. I take my inconsistencies, my problems, my struggles, and I say, hey, they are not as bad as David's. I think I'm pretty good in comparison to David's inconsistencies, David's problems, and David's struggles. Wow, I like this. God blesses David, and look where he was at with these inconsistencies, lying and multiplying women and murdering and all the rest. Oh my goodness. Hey, I like this Bible study. I like this. This is my problems. I got problems, but they're not as bad as his. And look how God blessed him and the way God used him. Problem. Ding. Wrong perspective. What do you mean? You don't match up your inconsistencies with David's inconsistencies. You match up your virtues with David's virtues. Huh? David killed a giant. David danced before the Lord with passion. David wrote psalms. David was a man, you couldn't stop him in his love for God. He was a lover of God. He was a person who was given to prayer, who continually praised, who wrote the Bible, the book of Psalms, a good chunk of them. He was a man that loved God passionately, a man that loved to pray continually, A man that was in love with God emotionally. Tears would stream down his face and praise would go up 24/7. He was a man of tremendous virtue. He said, I don't care how big that giant is. I'm going to go get him. I don't care who thinks what. I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm going to really be up front and out there and on a limb. I'm going to live for God. And here's the problem. See, that's the key. Not to say, well, my problems aren't as bad as his problems. Wrong comparison. You have to say, how do my good points stack up to David's good points? Am I a giant killer? Am I laying down everything for my Lord? Am I a poet and a prophet and a warrior and a dancer and a singer and a lover of God? See, that's why David was blessed. Do you understand the difference? And sometimes some of us can say, well, I'm just going to expect to be used and blessed because, hey, I'm not as bad as him. It's not a matter of comparing your problems with his. It's a matter of saying, how strong are you in your passion for God? How strong am I in my working for the Lord? Do I really say, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple? This was what David declared, and it's inspired. It is true. It's recorded in God's word. See, what are you saying? I'm saying, where would David be morning by morning? He says, one thing have I desired. To behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Where would he be in the evening hours? David was a man that said, I am a lover of God. It's true. And that's the reason why God blessed him. See, it's a thing called passion. Oh, well, now I feel bummed. I mean, I thought I was going to be okay because I'm not as bad as David was. But now you're saying the key is to be as good as David is? Exactly. Oh, man. Well, wraps it up for me. Are you sure? Or might the Lord be whispering in your ear, that's why I brought you here tonight. Because I see in you the same kind of possibility. How can that be? Because I put David in that place. I gave David that kind of grace. I worked in him. All he did that maybe I'm not or you're not is he responded to the promptings and the tuggings and the whisperings of his Lord. It's no mystery. It's not even mystical. It's very simple and very practical. When the Lord says, would you get up and pray? You say, okay. Would you go to church even though you're not assigned to, just to go to worship me? But Lord, I can worship you in bed. Isn't this intimate, Lord? Pastor Sheets is just ministering to me, Lord. It's so comfy in here. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for the freedom we have. And I think the Lord smiles at me and smiles at you. But yet, there's some Davids that say, okay, I'll get up and drive from Grants Pass for no reason than to be on my knees and pleasure you. It's not for me, it's for you, Lord. I hear you. And even though I'm not leading worship, or even though no one will see me, I hear you. That's where I'm supposed to be. That's what I'm going to do. Whether I have any feelings or emotions is irrelevant. Lord, I hear you prompting me. I'm going to pull out my journal. I'm going to write you a poem like David did. Well, yeah, but he was writing the Bible. Well, he didn't know that. He was writing a journal, is what he was doing. He didn't say, oh, this is going to wow him. Watch this. The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, that's going to be great. I can hear it now. I will call upon the Lord. Snappy. No, he wasn't doing that. David was just really enjoying and responding to the tugging and leading of the Holy Spirit. He's a man after God's own heart. I'm after your heart, Father. I'm after you. And others may not understand. My wife may make fun of me, David could say, because Michael, his wife, did just that. You know the story. And maybe others won't show up, or others don't care, others just won't respond, and that's okay. But Lord, somehow you're giving me the opportunity to be a David. And all you have to say when he's telling you to take on that giant and share your faith, or say what David said that day, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. I will pay the full price. When he purchased the property of Araunah the Hittite, that later would become the temple in Jerusalem. God's going to speak to you. He's going to say, give me something which is costly. Well, my wife works on the budget, Lord, and she's not going to like that if $20,000 is missing this week. She's going to think I'm a fool. Welcome to David's circle. You fool, Michael said. Didn't you behave yourself wisely dancing down there in your holy underwear? What I've done, honey, I've done as unto the Lord. I wonder what man is here, what business guy is here that will say, you know, I've never really given anything that has cost me. And I'm 35, or I'm 55, or I'm 75. I've never really given anything that costs me, that really costs me time to do that. I've never really taken a giant on. Time to go there. I've never really responded and said to you, Lord, do you want me to go up? Go up. Where, Lord? See, that's the key. David has lots of flaws, and I don't understand what he's thinking about taking these wives on and getting involved in all this stuff that we've seen and will see in future studies. But this I do know. He was a man after God's own heart. He responded to the promptings, the whisperings, the tuggings of the Spirit. Let's not make the mistake of saying, well, my vices aren't as bad as his, so bless me. Rather, let's say, Lord, bring me into that kind of passion. Let me compare my virtues with David's. That's the key. And God work in us. He is. May we allow him to continue to. In Jesus' name.
We certainly want that. We certainly want God to keep working in us so that we can be a man like David. Yes, David was flawed, but God was blessed by David's virtues. God was blessed by David's passion. And we can have that same passion as we allow God to work on us and change us into his image. This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
In addition to hearing good Bible teachings, it is also helpful to read of God's love, grace, mercy, and truth. For this reason, we have made available the John Corson Application Commentary Set. There are three volumes of these written commentaries, two covering the Old Testament and one covering the New Testament. The commentaries are based on John's teachings, so they contain the same insightful and practical Bible studies you hear on the Searchlight radio program. If you would like to order any or all of these commentaries, you can do so through the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.